circumstances, which, as I say, is an indication of the changing nature and face of Irish society. A new handbook has been published which provides guidelines, I suppose, for those involved in family law, both the people themselves and the legal profession. So what does it all mean for you out there? I'm joined in studio by the president of Sligo and Counties Solicitors Bar Association, Sligo Solicitor Michael Monaghan. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Niall. Good morning, listeners.
There's some very interesting stats which we'll come to later in relation to prenuptial agreements and apparently a rise in the number of divorces. But what's happening here? The system really can't cope.
Family law has exploded in my lifetime in practice here. And even down to this very week, here in Sligo, Sligo District Court Family dedicates a third Wednesday in every month to dealing with District Court Family matters, which are maintenance, custody issues. And we have 103 cases in that list on Wednesday. Our local judge, Judge Kevin Kilrain, started, I think, at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he went until 7. And if anybody's listening who was in that list, they will know that they were waiting around. Facilities are obviously very stretched because with that number of people, that's 100 plus people.
Do you know how many cases?
The list says 103 cases.
And now, were they all dealt with that day?
And the judge, in fairness, he will sit and he sat to deal with everything. But you know, it's an amazing, it's a savage list to deal with. Yeah. And because this list has expanded so much, I'm calling for the court service to investigate appointing specific family law judge for the Western area.
And that wouldn't be unusual. They have it in other jurisdictions.
Dublin, of course, being Dublin, has this. There are dedicated judges who only deal with family law. Right now, our particular area here, our particular judge here deals with everything from west of Killybegs right around to Knock Airport, right? Mm-hmm. That is a vast area, and it's an awful lot for one person to have to deal with. And you know, with family law, obviously there has to be a continuity. You can't have judges coming in, coming out. But if a judge or two was appointed to deal with a specific west of Ireland area, I don't know what the actual catchment area would be, but and therefore they're familiar with that, and that's what they deal with.
Okay.
That's the point I want to get out here today.
Okay. So that's the fact of the matter. I mean, family law is changing.
It has exploded. And then you have the TUSLA, which is the HSE. You have child protection issues. We have the, following the child referendum, we're now very child-centred. The child must be taken into consideration in all family law decisions. That has opened up a whole new area, which wasn't there 5 years ago.
Okay, so the handbook is geared towards, not only towards those in the legal profession, but people who have direct involvement in family law issues as well. Is that right?
You can take the situation where people find in this very emotional problem that they have. You know, their marriage, their relationship splits up, and they're thrown into a system where they're not quite sure what's going on. So what the Law Society has done is updated an existing book, which is part a guide for solicitors and how clients feel and how they should be treated, etc. And similarly for clients, some bits are really for clients, some bits are really for solicitors. But just, and then to open up other areas which weren't there, what about mediation? Yeah. Can your dispute be mediated rather than going to court? Again, we've an issue. There's a mediation bill hanging around. It doesn't seem to be passed. Even when bills are passed or acts, they become acts. When they're an act, there isn't always the money put in behind it to sort of carry out what the act intends to carry out. And that has always been a problem in Irish legislation.
Okay, so why is it becoming a problem? On the face of it, more and more people are getting divorced. Is that the oversimplification of the situation?
I think there was something in the media in the past week where on the basis that the economy was improving, more people could afford to get divorced. I don't know about that. It's the old dilemma of, is there enough money in to support two houses as distinct from one? I don't know. You can read the statistics.
I'm sure it is a factor, but it is what it is. And we're going to get more pressured, are we? Because the legislation would indicate that the divorce period is being... I know that the Taoiseach favours a cutting of the separation period.
At present, before you can get divorced. If one separates, you have to wait 4 years. Yeah. And maybe in 2017, the feeling is, well, if parties are going to separate, why sort of hang them out for another 4 years before you allow them divorce? As I keep telling people, separation only puts you in two separate camps, but you're still actually married legally in the eyes of the law to that person. Whereas once you're divorced, the bond is broken and you can go about your way, or you can remarry or whatever you have to do.
All right, OK. So it's going to become even more complicated and busier.
Judging by our local list here, this list has simply exploded. It used to be dealt with years ago as just an addition to the existing criminal list, which would be on, say, in Sligo every Thursday. Now, because it has grown so much, it has to have a dedicated day on this, as I said, third Wednesday of the month.
OK, and by the nature of these cases, as you say, mostly to do with children access maintenance issues, they can be very complicated and very emotional as
well. Very, very emotional. I mean, if you're disputing, and again, there's a child usually in the middle of this situation, and maintenance and failure to pay maintenance, and you know, it is quite traumatic. So, you know, I think the system owes it to the people who come into it to try and make it as easy as possible, and to try and put some system to recognise the problem that's there, and look at perhaps the introduction of dedicated family judges.
Okay.
I should say, Niall, that I think there is some statistic that Ireland has the least amount of judges per capita. And I know there's always a difficulty, say, if our local judge needs to get a replacement judge, I think judges aren't available because in any, you know, there may be judges sick, there may be people who have retired and haven't been replaced. And I think it's quite difficult. I understand it's quite difficult to get a replacement judge.
That's interesting. OK, tell us about the farmers and the prenuptial agreements. This is an interesting one.
Of course, being the ploughing week, this came up, I think, in the media over the week. And I think there was a discussion in there, and I saw it picked up in one of the papers that farmers are the ones who are pushing for the introduction of the recognition of prenuptial agreements. Now, the present state of law in Ireland is as follows. We have in the Constitution a recognition of marriage, so it is very difficult to have something which seeks to do away with the institution of marriage, which prenuptial agreement would seek to do. Now, having said that, needs must, and what an Irish solution to an Irish problem essentially has grown up, where if people do agree to enter into a prenuptial agreement, it has no binding if there's an ultimate separation or divorce. But I understand from the case law that judges do look at it. Even though it's not binding, but it does indication of what the parties were thinking. And obviously here, the Irish attachment to land, and, you know, we don't want to split the farm and all that sort of, it's obviously a concern. I would prefer to have one if I was a farmer than to have one. But yeah. I'm not a farmer, so...
Right, OK. But it's not exclusive to farmers, as we know, but it's interesting to note that...
It is driven by farmers at present, lest their land be taken from the family.
OK. That's interesting. OK, the handbook which we talk about, the new Family Law in Ireland handbook, and as I say, it has changed significantly in recent years. How do people access that for information?
It actually is sent to solicitors at present, and I think the easiest thing to do is perhaps when people have their solicitor, maybe discuss it with their solicitor. Some sections, I think, I would put up my own firm's website and just to see, you know, what is there. Because it gives, the more information someone has when they go to discuss their problem, the more confident they feel that, you know, they can get their solution.
OK, a couple of comments there before we conclude, Michael. Someone saying that in their day, their father always was of the opinion divorce was for the rich. Well, those days are long gone, I'm sure, in Ireland now. That's not the case.
No, well, as we know, people want to be divorced, you know, want to push down the road, they want to go.
They can be. Someone else called in to say that the law in this country needs to tough up in relation to maintenance. It's not being paid in many cases, and children in cases need to have more of a say. They have to be age 14 before they get their voices heard. And someone disagrees with that, which is an interesting point as well.
I think different judges take different attitudes about interviewing children. Again, I think there's a call, I think judges are now calling to say we need to be trained about this because this has come in as a new area, how to discuss matters with children. There's probably a whole training system needed on that, right? And I'm sure that will be organised for judges rather than leave them just to their own devices.
Okay, you say the case is to be made for a specific family law judge. You're not a lone voice in that. Is that how the profession would feel about it as well, do you think?
Well, it's a needs must situation, Niall. If there's such a volume of cases on an increasing level, and I'm sure the surrounding counties have a similar situation, that it's a dedicated area. It needs to be dealt with, right? And I think until there's a pressure coming from people, you know, those people who are in that list of Wednesday, like if they all got on to their local representative and say, listen, you need to move this up along the line to say that this is not fair to people, right? Yeah. It is a matter of appointing somebody. We have the courthouse, as the money has been spent on them, right? And it's a matter of getting a judge who will deal with this and leaving that judge to do it. There's not a matter of shifting. So therefore, there's a continuity. If some cases need to come back by their nature, there's a fluidity, if you like, in terms of dealing with them. You might be back after 6 months for review. What somebody asked there about the enforcement of maintenance, I think the procedure is that, in fact, that changed as well, that the court service used to actually do this for people who weren't being paid. But then I think a year or two ago, they actually said, no, the people have to go and do this themselves, fill out the forms, lodge them, serve them, and then bring them back in. And then the person who's defaulting on payments has brought him before the judge. And the judge says, well, if you don't pay, you know, we'll have to impose a jail sentence. Yeah. That works, I think, sometimes, doesn't always work. And maintenance can be strung out.
All right, okay. And some of the people who were involved in those cases during the week are texting in saying that Michael is absolutely right. A new specialist young family law judge is needed.
I wouldn't comment on the young.
Yeah, and I don't mean if they're referring to the young family or the young judge, but
I'm not quite sure about that.
Yeah, okay.
It does call for action, and perhaps if those people would go and get on to their representative and say this needs to be moved at national level so that the government essentially moved the court service to say this must be dealt with. Again, like all this, is groundswell from the bottom. It's what politicians, that's what they listen to.
Okay, it's a new Family Law in Ireland handbook and it can be accessed readily, as Michael said. Michael, thanks for joining us in studio this morning.
Thanks again, Niall.
Thanks a lot. It's Michael Monaghan, President of Sligo and County Solicitors Bar Association. Right, give me details of a giveaway in a moment, but I just want to go back to the YouTube.